I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, there is truth that will make you free. And if you're hungry for that truth, then God will give it to you, and you can walk in freedom every day of your life.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This message was taken from a recent Sunday service here at Pace Assembly. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers. This is Your Joseph is Alive.
Jesus, then, is the only answer that this world and mankind has as a hope for their future. Listen carefully to me. This applies to every blood-bought believer. Write it down. Job chapter 5, verse 20 says, "In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword." In other words, God said, "I will preserve my chosen people." So for those that are spreading the false and the lies about the coming tribulation and the time of great tribulation and that the church is going to have to go through that, God's word declares he'll pull us out before the wrath of God comes. It is an event that is a signless event called the rapture of the church. Joseph then was more than just another son to Jacob. He was Jacob's hope. He was Jacob's future. He was the promise of increase to Jacob and all of his family. Joseph then was the guarantee of the greater things that were to come. Now on the night that Joseph was born, the spirit of prophecy came upon Jacob. And Jacob named this boy, this son, Joseph, which means increase. Somebody shout, increase. And the promised son of covenant blessings was born into the world, and his name means increase. Now listen, the firstborn would usually be the next in line for the blessing of the father. That would be Reuben, who is the firstborn. But he was the firstborn of Leah, who was a tricked marriage, and Jacob was actually not going to be the favored son. It would be Joseph, who would be born of Rachel. Jacob made him, the Bible says, a coat of many colors. This was not just any coat. This coat represented authority. It represented future leadership. It represented all of the rights and privileges of the firstborn, who would be Joseph. It was not just a new coat for a new outfit. It was a coat of multiple colors, which represented multiple hopes, multiple dreams, multiple expectations, multiplied promises. Can somebody say amen? The coat was a one-of-a-kind coat for a one-of-a-kind promised son named Joseph. And Jacob sent Joseph, then the Bible says, as the son to go and visit with his brothers. Joseph went to be able to bring the cheese and bring some nourishment to his brothers who were watching the flocks in the fields. But whenever he was arriving, the Bible says in the book of Genesis that his brothers not only despised him for his dreams, but they hated him for his words. And when they saw him coming, they said, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him." They despised him so much for his words and dreams that they stripped his coat of many colors off of him, and then they sold him as a slave for silver, just like Jesus was sold. The brothers' collective scheme then brought Joseph's coat with many colors to their father Jacob. Can you see the picture in your mind? There were the brothers that through Joseph knew he was down in a dry pit, and then they killed a kid, a goat, and dipped that coat of many colors in that goat's blood. They ripped it and tore it to shreds. And by the time that they arrived to their father Jacob with this torn, bloodstained mess of a coat, The coat that just a few days before was the object of such great joy and rejoicing and jubilation now becomes the object of Jacob's greatest horror and grief that a parent could ever have. It is the evidence then of Jacob's terror and overwhelming grief that he would hold in his hand. This would be the example many times happening inside of our lives, where when we look for something that are in 2018 perhaps, or maybe in our past where we've said, I've got hopes and dreams for my son, hopes and dreams for my business, hopes and dreams for my life, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere into this hope and expectation and into a future of promise comes some tragic event, some fearful event that plunges you into despair and depression like you have never experienced before in your life. Joseph's coat was the tangible proof of a violent death and the end of a promise, an end of his hope, the end of his future, a loss as he looked at it that could not be recovered. This coat of many colors had become the coat now of many sorrows for Jacob, Joseph's father. It was the cruel day-by-day evidence of Jacob's worst nightmare. There was no other conclusion that could become of this coat as Jacob held it in his hands. Jacob now had the fact in his hand that all was lost. The coat was so convincing. The coat was so credible. The coat was so believable. But the coat was a lie. The blood on the coat was not Joseph's blood. The rips were not from a lion. Joseph had not been killed. The evidence that Jacob had in his hand was a lie. Our enemy Satan uses the same kind of tactics of the lie to undermine our faith today, to stop us from believing God's word. And too many times the plan of God for our life is not acted upon on our part. We don't step out in faith because of some tangible, visible fact that we hold in our hand, in our head, and in our heart that is not true. We're afraid to step out and take the advantage of what God's word said because of something that has been brought to us that tells us it can't be done, that tells us it's a lie. Jacob, from this point forward, sunk into a depression because of a lie. Are you listening to me this morning? Jacob stopped seeking God. He stopped seeking the purpose of God and the plan of God for his life. In other words, the whole plan of God that God had already outlined for his blessing, being the son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, now has been thwarted by this bloody, torn coat that is a lie, but he holds those facts as a visible evidence in his hand, and it turns his happiness into a heartbreak, all because of a lie. There are some people that are sitting here today and watching right now that are held captive because they choose to believe a lie. Beaten down by some event, some mistake in your past, something where someone told you that you can't do it now because it's all over, it's all lost, some tragic event that's happened in your life that's affected and controlled every decision you make, perhaps years ago, that's left you hopeless and without life. This message this morning is for those that feel hopeless, that are convinced that it's over, that you've got the evidence in your hand and now you've settled down in your physical, mental, and spiritual state and said, I'll just ride the boat of status quo. My dreams are dead. My promises are lost. All hope is gone. I'm talking to the businessman here this morning who has lost his business or perhaps is going through a hard time. time, and you've got just as real and tangible a bloody coat of your business in your hand, the lie that you are believing. I'm talking to the teenager here today who can't get past the rejection of your parents, can't get past the rejection of the lie that you've been told that you'll never be anything. I'm talking to the college student who went with their faith onto the college campus only to be convinced by the evidence of a professor that everything that God is not. I'm talking to the person who heard the diagnosis from the doctor who said, you need to come in, we found something, and now in your mind and in your spirit, it's playing over and over again. And I want you to know that lie that is happening is building up a stronghold in your head. Somebody in this building who has a past failure, a habit, some deep hurt. I've heard it before. Pastor, I've been church hurt before. And now you have the evidence in your hand. You don't go to church anymore. You don't get involved anymore. You're afraid to stick out your faith anymore because you're holding in your head and in your hand the tangible evidence of nothing more than a lie that has been convincing you now that you'll never be anything. But contrary, ladies and gentlemen, to the evidence that you hold in your hand, the promises of God are still true. I came to tell somebody this morning, your Joseph is still alive. Jacob was presented with the evidence. And just like Satan presents to us the lie to us that is extremely convincing, even the evidence and the facts that we would hold in our hand, it is the intention of the enemy to make you think that the promises of God are not for you, that you've been disqualified, that you came to the point but you are not able to meet the standard, and now things have been canceled in your life. Jacob was convinced of the lie because of a blood-stained coat. I asked you the question today, what is the enemy using to convince you? What is it that you're being controlled by today that is nothing more than a lie? Polls that come day by day to tell us this is the way the world is. Polls that come to tell us that people like this person, but they don't like this person. Before I got here today, they blasted an advertisement on the news and paid for by your government dollars of the Ad Council that is supposed to be a loving reminder of our relationships as two homosexuals are kissing in a stadium, two lesbians are kissing in a stadium, and the applause of the crowd in the stadium is supposed to affirm that everything is okay. And more than that, that everybody that doesn't like this is a homophobe or someone who hates people and is not filled with love. I don't know anybody who loves this world more than Jesus Christ. And if Jesus lives on the inside of you, you love everybody, but you hate what God hates. The culture of the skeptics are all around us, even in the church house where unbelieving believers sit from week after week listening to the fake news of hell. You better listen to me this morning. All of a sudden the pain hits your body, and all of a sudden you think about how your mama died, how your daddy died, how your aunt, how your uncle, and the devil takes off on that like a speeding train and blows it up into your mind. I came to tell you it's a lie. The enemy is the master at arranging the facts to present the most convincing false conclusion that you possibly can believe. The facts are real. We won't deny them, but the conclusion is wrong. I want you to know that everything you see and everything you hear is not truth. I want to insert this right now. The reason why this world, ladies and gentlemen, will be turned over according to the book of Romans chapter number 1. God said there's going to come a time, and it is right now, where he's going to turn the hearts of people over to believe a lie and be damned. That is to say, they can look into the same word of God that you can and draw a different conclusion. That it's all right to marry same sex. That it's all right for you to be able to be in this lifestyle. That it's all right to do this and do that. I came to tell you there's still a highway of holiness. There's still a righteous robe that you've got to wear. And if you make it into heaven, you better make sure you got a firm hand on truth.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.